Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hi, from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness, brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Lower Extremity Review, and MVP Parent Magazines, and UK Health Radio. We've got a great doubleheader today, Dr. Doug Mango. He's a chiropractic physician. He's the founder of Mango Combat Sports. He's training boxers, martial artists, MMA athletes. Will be joining me along with Amber Gill. She's a longtime national level figure skating coach. Who knows how many kids we've seen mutually. And some Bob Guide of Wisdom and your emails. First, let's welcome Dr. Doug Mango. Welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Hi, Dr. Bob. How are you, sir?
Great. Doug, of course, your brother Kirk, author of the great book, Becoming a True Champion, has been on the show so many times. He's spoken about you. What you were up to. Give us some background on yourself with the chiropractic medicine and the Mango Combat Sports.
Yes. Okay. So I was went to school in California at the Palmer Institute for chiropractic. I graduated there in 96 and studied, many years chiropractic and ventured in. At that time, I was coaching also at the time out there. So I was involved in both. I was very interested always in more sports medicine type of stuff. So my chiropractic, when I ventured into it, I was really looking to be, working with athletes a lot. Kind of like you a little bit. I deal with a lot of athletic patients and clients. So, I do the same, but my coaching has actually blossomed. I ended up moving into the coaching and strongly into more of the mixed martial arts boxing and a Thai boxing type of regime. And that combative sports as injuries involved with that is amazing. You see everything, in that type of
Dr. Doug, the marriage of podiatry and chiropractic, I've had chiropractic physicians on for decades. There's not a serious team anywhere in sports, really. It doesn't include the chiropractic physician. Mm-hmm. Come a long, long way, sort of like podiatry, in the inclusion in the sports medicine team. But you can't, combat sports, self-defense, it's such a big, big area. It's got to be really challenging. That whole MMA, MA fight world is just really extreme.
Oh, it is. It is. And there's a tremendous amount of injury. But, my focus now is, of course, me running the school, Mango Combat Sports. I train, teach, and coach all the fighters and stuff. It's very, intense and extensive. It's a lot of work. We have a new school. I was with Kern Martial Arts for many years, and we produced many world champs and high-level fighters, whether it was boxing, Thai boxing, or mixed martial arts. So, we split off. I was with Jeff Kern at the time, who is a world-renowned mixed martial artist. Has been fought all over the world. He was my fighter. I coached him for many years and was with him at his school. And then he kind of retired and wanted to, get out of that, portion of it. He just wanted to teach jujitsu and kind of pull away from the fight game. But I'm a fight coach. So, he asked me if is there any opportunity for you to venture out? And I said, yeah, I have a business partner, who deals with more the financial end of my school and his school. He takes care of the fighters and most of the management fighters and stuff like that in the school. finances and stuff, and I do all the coaching and the teaching. So it's a real nice marriage between me and him, and he's a great guy. He's
What's the website, Dr. Doug, for
it's Mangle Combat Sports. Yeah, it's MangleCombatSports.com.
And again, you know, dealing with high-level athletes in any sport is always a challenge with the families, the coaches, the team doctors in many respects. And but, you know, it's interesting that the martial arts, some of the best athletes I ever saw over the years, if they weren't dancers or figure skaters, they were martial artists, you know.
Right.
Where a guy could jump 5 feet in the air, land like a cat in perfect balance. And it's always been really a fantastic a discipline. The fighting side, with all of that side of it, you must be a good sports psychologist, Dr. Doug.
Yeah, we have to deal with a lot. Well, you know, just being a fighter in general, you know, I think their brains tend to be a little bit different than the average person, right? So, you know what they say, you know, when you're in the game and you understand it a little bit, you know, a lot of people think they can fight, but they actually can't. There's only probably about less than 1% in the world that actually can do it and actually physically get in there and do it, because it's not easy. It's very hard.
You know, so what's been amazing is the women are involved now.
Very much so.
Out of nowhere, big time. You know, like WWE, all of a sudden, all of these women, and again, plus the fact, the kind of pressure, it's amazing how the sport has done so well, become big time, mainstream. Oh, it really
very
is
mainstream.
A phenomenal road you guys have been on.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. You know, boxing's been around forever, and, you know, the women never really got quite the accolades that the men were getting in boxing, and still even to this day, they quite don't, which is sad.
No, unless her name was Ali. If her name was Ali.
Layla did this out there. Even her, I don't think she got quite the accolade she should have, you know, compared to like Ronda Rousey in mixed martial arts. I mean, you know, that young lady was worldwide known. She could go in, everybody knew her, you know, I mean, she's made millions of dollars through, you know, mixed martial arts, and it's paved the way for a lot of women now making a lot of money in mixed martial arts and in the UFC. So,
yeah, you know, it's interesting, of course, is all of those sports are barefoot. And you got a whole different world when you're dealing with sports with barefoot athletes and various ways of paying big attention to strengthening those feet, pardon the pun, and the whole lower extremity, which you and I have been flirting around together for all this time, even though it's your brother that I really got to know so well. Self-defense, Dr. Doug.
Yes,
I used to feel it should be taught in all the schools, some of these different principles. I mean, you're a real mental side of a lot of this kind of guy, like your brother in his whole world of becoming a true champion. You're big time into the mental game, aren't you?
Oh, very much so. I'm a very big proponent that, like you're talking about, I think that it should really be taught, especially in this day and age. I think the self-confidence of kids these days is lacking so much.
Yes.
It's really, really crazy. And, you know, the other thing that I've noticed, and I don't know if, you know, because you've been doing this for a while and you talk to a lot of people, but the cognitive connection between kids today and the way they can, how do I want to say this? So the connection between their brain and their movement and function is off right now, I've noticed, in children.
Well, we're lucky they kept gym classes. I spent 25 years on the radio arguing I won, I think.
Right.
Where they kept gym classes as part of the, you know, the fitness side. There's a big fitness side to the, we have a lot of proponents of yoga in the school for the kids. You know, simple self-defense. We're not talking about, you know, fighting a scenario, but self-defense, you would think that the school districts and parents would be big fans of, but good luck to you getting that included.
That was probably never going to happen. But the thing I've noticed, and I don't know if you've noticed things, but, you know, for kids, like if just for an example, like I've had kids, and a lot of them, not just a little bit, but quite a bit, where they don't even know what their right hand and left hand is. And I'm talking ages from 7 to like 13. Because I'll say, I'll give them a combination to throw, right? And they'll mix it up. And I'm like, okay, I understand. You can mix up the combination at first. But then I'll run it through them again. And I'll actually push their hands through the combination. And they'll completely throw it different. Like, in right immediately. It's like really weird.
Welcome to the social media world. What ages do you deal with, Dr. Doug, in your school
I start the kids, Doc, at 7 to 14 is my kids' class. And
what are they doing? What are they doing? Jiu-jitsu, judo? What's their participation?
Okay, so we offer three classes, and we offer straight boxing, Western boxing. We offer Thai boxing, which is, if you're familiar with it, is kind of it looks kind of like kickboxing, but it's a little bit more in depth because they can throw elbows, they can clinch and throw knees, and then they can throw leg kicks. So you can kick the legs, the lower extremities, calf, the leg, all of that, which is, you know, very rough on the extremities there a little bit. But so it's a little different than like your general kickboxing, which was considered above the waist kicking. So a lot of things aren't quite open, and it's a very powerful art in itself. If you've ever seen it, you'll be like, whoa, it's quite, at
the top of the level with some of these champions and these really serious fighters. Again, chiropractic physician, you must have your hands on these guys all week. To be able to somehow keep them going, I would think now you're dealing with bigger athletes, stronger athletes, faster athletes. We've all experienced that explosion in both sexes. That's got to be so challenging.
It you'd be surprised. It's funny because in a controlled setting, you know, I do the best we can in a controlled setting. So when they grapple, they have the option of what we call a tap. So if they get caught in a submission, right, they can tap out. So they can tap. That's the nice thing about mixed martial arts. Where boxing, you don't quite have that, right? So if you're getting beat up in boxing, you really can't stop. The referee's got to stop.
True. That's a great, that's an interesting point. I never thought about that. I give. The old days.
Right.
In
the mixed martial arts, you can stop
it. Thought of it.
Yeah, Doc, you're right. So, yeah, in that aspect, those two sports are a little bit different when it comes to the combative sports. You know, boxing, Thai boxing, kickboxing, I think it's even more accepted in, like, the kickboxing where you could kind of say, oh, okay, I'm done. But when you do that in boxing, as we've recalled with Roberto Duran doing that, that was not good. You know, he had a lot of backlash for stopping the boxing. He can't really.
That's right. He was the only guy. You just read my mind. I was going to mention that. Yep. I forgot his name. Roberto Duran saying, no mas.
Yeah, no mas, right?
Whatever it was. In that situation. And again, when you're dealing with some of these great athletes, again, the two parts of my book that I talk about every athlete at every age, I want them to work on. Well, your barefoot athletes, these kinds of moves, strengthening those feet and ankles. You must work on a lot of balance and stability work with your athletes.
We do. We do a lot of movement drills. So a lot of what I teach is definitely, okay, so your feet, when you're fighting, they cannot be quite flat, right? So you can't push your heels to the mat. You have to actually weight your body to the ball of the feet a little bit, okay? So it's different because when you're running, you go heel to toe.
I got to get you a sand dune step or the piece of equipment that simulates being on the sand. Work all those feet. You would love it. The sand dune step.
Oh,
you
gotta
check them out on Instagram. Working the gripping power. The famous Bob Guida, my late great sports champion. In the late 70s, early 80s, he used to say to me, Dr. Bob, we want to train these athletes' feet like Von Kleiburn's hands. He was a famous pianist. And he would talk about working in the sand, working those areas. So, and, creating all these unstable surfaces, because in the martial arts, you're a dancer, aren't you?
Yes. Well, in all mixed martial arts, you tend to be.
Yes.
I mean, not so much maybe necessarily jiu-jitsu because it happens a little bit more on the ground, of course. But anything that's combative where you're standing, you're a dancer. You're a dancer, and if you can move like a dancer and you have that ability with the footwork, it can help you become an extremely good fighter. Extremely good fighter. I mean, Sugar Ray Robinson, he danced. He loved to dance. You know, I guess he could tap dance. He could do all types of dancing, and he loved it. You know, and it showed in the way he fought back in the day. So,
okay. You know, you must also work, you know, a lot again, you know, the hand-eye coordination, those other kinds of simulations, you know, for rapid movement. We used to say to some of these athletes, get yourself a cat as a pet. This way you could take a look at a real athlete. I knew the time would fly by here with Dr. Doug Mango. Doug, quickly, give me the website again for the sports group.
Yes, it's mangocombatsports.com. And anybody who wants to, take a look at our schools, you know, we'd love to have you come in. We do get free classes.
Thanks so much, so. Dr. Doug Mango.
Dr. Bob, thank you so much.
Yes. Hold on.
I appreciate
you. We'll be right back, everybody.
Okay.
Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights. About a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his three decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of sports doctors' key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor Is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Live from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Everybody knows my super interest in the world of figure skating. So we want to welcome Amber Gill. She's a longtime national-level figure skating coach. Amber, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Good afternoon, Dr. Bob.
Great to have you. Give us some background. Give us some background on yourself and the world of figure skating, Amber.
Well, I started skating when I was 3 years old, and I competed soon after that. I worked with many world and Olympic coaches and had strong technique from them, but I was out due to a lower back injury when I was 16. But I absolutely loved figure skating, and I knew that I wanted to coach, so I began that journey at the age of 17. And now I'm coaching over at Glenview Community Ice Center, along with a world and Olympic coach, Roheen Ward.
You know, that's fantastic. I can't believe it's 40 years I'm putting orthotics in some skater's skate, starting with Angelo D'Agostino, the late, great Angelo D'Agostino. And then my poster guy, you know, the 2010 Men's Olympic gold medalist, Evan Lysacek. He was 9. In the late 70s, I met Candy Brown Burek, was the first figure skating coach who came to our facility because she wanted her young skaters, Amber, to be stronger, to be fitter, besides all the skating, and the rest is history. It's such a combination of all that, the physicality, with dancing, with artistic, situations. And I call it one of the prodigy sports where you have, 10, 11, 12-year-olds that don't want to play other sports. Really, really want to concentrate on figure skating and their families and all of those kinds of situations. How's your sports psychology skills, Amber?
I love to lean on that. Every person's an individual and everyone learns differently. So I have to deeply lean on that during training and at competition.
You know, it's interesting. You know, you had a lower back injury that stopped you. The epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries was why I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, because it's an epidemic with capital letters, especially when they're very talented, like evidently you were. Now, at 3 years old, I had kids start close to that, but I think you just set my record. From the beginning when some of these kids would start loving and doing figure skating. And we've watched way back when all those champions, Peggy Fleming and Katarina Witt and these other champions, none of them ever did triple jumps of over all of those years. And now we've seen some flirting with quad jumps, these girls in triple jumps. The physicality, it's almost scary.
Yeah, it's way more demanding now. And I started using orthotics when I was 7 years old, and that helped me tremendously with my skating. And I wouldn't have been able to go as far as I did without orthotics. So I'm a huge fan of having the skaters' alignment. And so orthotics and other warm-ups can help with that.
Yes, interesting fact, most of the time we used orthotics and figure skating, Amber, over the decades was because there was a problem that skaters' feet hurt, the heels hurt, the shins hurt, the knees, their back. There was a problem. And orthotics, which are all about optimum alignment, would make a huge difference in those symptoms. What was even more exciting over the years was that everybody improved. Whatever their level, their edging was better, their balance was better, their landings were better. And again, as we started seeing this, I have a dozen 10-year-olds who are all doing double jumps already. It's amazing and the ability to work with the physical therapy world, the personal training world, as well as the coaching world, becomes a very important part of that situation. Besides, again, like you had mentioned, the mental side of things, 3-year-olds pretty early. What's the age variation of some of the kids you're working with?
The ages that we have right now are between 7.5 and 23 years old.
And who's your associate that you're working with in your coaching?
Rohin Ward. He is world and Olympic coach for Jason Brown. And he's here.
Jason Brown moved back to Illinois. I thought I was going to see Jason Brown years ago. This kid is, and likes to check off this tremendous art form about this Jason Brown. I think he's so special, this kid. And it's interesting that we're working with him. Yes. Yet he wasn't enough of a jumping jack to remind me when Lysacek beat, what was his name, the Russian in 2010 for the gold medal, who did quads, and and they made such a big deal out of it. Nobody's more artful than Jason Brown. You could tell him Dr. Bob said that, please.
Yes, I will. Yes, he's amazing. He's a very hard worker, and he's accomplished a lot. And he's a huge role model for all the skaters, always being happy, training hard, really great attitude on and off the ice.
And, the relationship with the families, the pressure's on sometimes so early. Amber, after the Olympics, the question was, whose goal is it? Are the parents overdoing it? All these kinds of questions. So after the Olympics, it's still on my website. I had Tanya Lysacek on. I said, Tanya, Evan's mom, how'd you know it was his goal, it wasn't yours? How'd you know that? She said, Dr. Wild, we had ice time at 6:15 in the morning, and I never had to wake him up. There he was in the car with his gloves on. Come on, Ma, let's get going. I told her that might have been the best answer I ever heard. Again, where you have these young kids, and they really want to all concentrate on skating and you're seeing these kids a lot, sometimes even bigger, a lot stronger, wouldn't you say?
Yes, absolutely. We promote working with skaters where it is their dream. It's not their parents' dream. And when they show up to the rink ready to work hard, we want to give them every opportunity possible and show them how to train mentally and physically so their dreams can come true.
That's a tremendous goal to have, and it's almost always positive. In this world of youth sports, whether it's women's soccer and that nightmare, whether it's women, your sport has also been involved of this overkill and over. I used to call them Svengali coaches, and the whole challenge of so much pressure, physically and mentally. We watched the last Winter Olympics. She might have been the most talented young girl I've ever seen, this young Russian girl, and got involved with that whole performance-enhancing drugs. Her name escapes me.
Amelia? Amelia?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Quad jumps like a ballerina. Just fantastic. And the fact, so those kinds of pressures, very, very early on, Dr. Wild, you don't understand. She needs 2 Advil twice a day. Her knees are always hurting her, and she's competing next week. And all these kinds of things are a big part of you and I being on the same team for all these years, right?
Absolutely. The more doctors, physical therapists, we need all that help to support the athlete so they can be injury-free and train properly. Want them to have longevity in the sport, and that's most important. So definitely,
and that's a real challenge. Physically, good luck to us, to the skaters who are going to grow up after they've been doing triple jumps all through. It's one of the prices we pay. But playing basketball, or if you're super, you're playing aggressive soccer, any of these sports, we run into these repetitive emotion injuries. And everybody cares about the two things, Amber, that really count to everybody. Number one, can I prevent trouble, prevent injuries, and stay out of trouble? And number two, or indicated, can I enhance performance? Can I jump higher? Can I have more power? Can I have more stability? All of these kinds of things. And this is why I've been pushing for you guys, as long as I know you, that you strengthen those feet and ankles, number one, and work balance, work stability off ice. We don't need more running, jumping drills. That's my pearl for the week from the sports doctor for all you great coaches.
Absolutely, Dr. Bob. I agree, and proper warm-up and more balanced training, stronger feet will give them longevity in the sport and keep them injury-free.
As best as possible.
Yes.
Yes. Well, especially when you're dealing, one of my superstars now from Long Island, I call her Magic Bella, Isabella Rose Caricchio, who was like 8 and a half when we first arranged to get the proper orthotics with her. And when I was bragging on Facebook about my 9 and 10-year-olds, and she was included, I call them my orthotics figure skating hotshots. She sent me an email. She said, "Dr. Weil, I'm only 9. And I had to change the post in order to mix it in. Already competing in one of the new exciting areas of skating, solo ice dance.
Yes.
An interesting area, with these young kids. One of my champions, Chloe Ryan, who was a champion with a couple of different years, hoping that it would be included, in the Olympics. Figure skating continues to be probably one of the most popular Olympic sports ever, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I think it's still a dream and a fantasy for skaters to jump high and dance on the ice and just make it look effortless, despite how much work it really is.
Oh, I want you to land softly. Is there any particular website or anything you guys have in your skating area that you're involved with that you want to mention?
We're on Instagram right now, so at AmberGill_figureskating on Instagram and Roheen Ward on Instagram. We post videos of our skaters' daily training.
Yeah, go to Sand Dune Stepper on Instagram. This is this piece of equipment that simulates being on the sand. We've had some in the world of skating absolutely involved with some of this. We've mentioned more about it. We're talking with Amber Gill, prominent figure skating coach. We will be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website. GlobalSchoolWear.com. GlobalSchoolWear.com.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
We'll be right back.
Live from Chicago, we're back at the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist, talking figure skating with prominent coach Amber Gill. I don't know if you heard the end of that commercial, Amber. It's not like I placed it. You know, we're talking about being step or two quicker with orthotics. What perfect placement, you know, we had. You know, you mentioned something in the break, which is, you know, it's been around forever, yet it's so crucial, the importance of proper warming up and the importance of proper cooling down when you're really involved in a particular sporting activity. And talk a little bit about that.
So mainly when we meet new skaters, we want to emphasize how important it is to have strong time management skills. So they're in the building a half an hour before they train on the ice. And so proper warm-up with their feet, even proper attire. Some skaters wear gym shoes that are too tight or they're too flat. And so they're already walking around all day with shoes that don't fit them properly. And then they have a very tight boot form-fitted on the ice. And so we need them to take off their shoes and warm up their feet properly so they're using all the small muscles and getting blood flow so that when they step on the ice, they warm up their edge work and then begin jumping. That way we can have less injuries and longevity in the sport.
Yeah, we used to like the mats. We used to like the padded mats as a great place to walk around on, regardless of your sport. That's what I like so much about the sand dune stepper, is that it simulates the ability to work those feet like it's your hands. It's funny. That's what, again, Bob Guida said to the famous late great sports therapist that Candy came to visit at Sports Fitness Institute, would talk about, you got to work these feet like the great pianist's hands. You got to include these kinds of exercises. And it became something that was very difficult to simulate. So walking, you know, warming up, feet so important. You know, it's amazing also, Amber, tremendous attention now. We've stressed so much on the sports doctor with rest and recovery, and that parents and coaches understand how important this is. This has become an accepted topic in your world, finally. I've been screaming about it for 30
finally,
years.
Finally, yes.
Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. Following doctor's orders are very important for rest and recovery so that the skater can come back to the sport that they love.
I always felt your sport, again, was ahead of its time. I mean, Lysacek and skaters before him would talk about visualization, that it was a big part of that what they did. And a lot of them worked with sports psychology before the rest of sports knew how to spell the word. I've always was a huge fan. We had the late, great Dr. Jim Vickery worked with, did he ever pass your world, Jim Vickery?
No. He did not.
Yes, okay. The whole idea, again, of the mental side of things, even in the 80s and 90s, and I found the figure skaters paid attention to that, the idea that they do some visualization where they were going through their program, they were doing some breathing, some relaxation, and understanding how important that was in the world of high performance. And we have found, and in all ages, the inclusion of that is a big step up. And educating parents and coaches in how important this is with all the hype and pressure that these kids undergo. And the better they are, the more pressure cooker they're in. Right, Amber?
Yes, we actually offer a class on Fridays called The Mental Game, where all our skaters work on visualization. So
excellent.
That is mandatory to train with us.
Yeah, that's the title of how I talk about it with whoever is in that mental field, whether they're sports psychiatrists, sports psychologists, mental trainers, high performance trainers. I characterize it as the mental game. So we got the same title that we're sharing.
Yes,
absolutely.
That's
I think that's so important. And that also that, again, parents, you know, there's a chapter in my book. It's called Youth Sports and Drugs. And I'm not talking about performance-enhancing drugs like we saw in the Olympics, even though you understand the kind of pressure. If this kid is hurting and they want to use something, even over-the-counter, in order to stay in the game, and this is a big, big problem today in the high level of youth sports. Dr. Weil, again, don't you understand? She's taking Advil twice a day. Her back hurts. Her knees hurt. Competition's coming up. Competition's always been a big part of the world of figure skating. Isn't sectionals coming up? You have some kids involved in the upcoming competitions?
Yes, we have 5 skaters at the junior and senior level that qualified for the Midwestern sectionals in Lansing, Michigan. And it's 4 weeks from now.
Wow, that's exciting. So again, the pressure's on, you know, with the idea of
yes.
We want to show up healthy. We want to show up healthy. We don't want
yes,
to be the
do.
Famous Olympians from years ago. Yes, and because more is better is one of the biggest challenges many times we face. What are the ages of some of your youngsters who are competing?
In the Midwestern sectionals, our youngest skater is 17 and our oldest is 23. We have female and male skaters.
Yeah, give them a quick shout-out. Who are they?
Nathan Chappell, Alexa Gasparato, Brooke Galloway, Liana Grady, and Audrey Meredith.
Yeah, I see. It's so exciting where we would see these different competitions again with all of the challenges that they bring to the whole sphere. And I think we've come a long, long way, Amber. I know we talk about it on the Sports Doctor all the time for years, and everybody listening to the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you go back years. What were the titles? International guests, national guests, local guests, all sorts of topics. Listen to whatever you like. You go over to newspaper articles and magazines, an endless array of things you've been involved with, the exciting new MVP Parent Magazine, all sorts of information, all areas, everything from what's the best shoe for your son or daughter, but some of these different challenges. Thousands of followers if you go to @sportsdoc, DOC Radio on Twitter. We're talking with Amber Gill. How long have you been involved in the world of coaching, Amber?
A little over 21 years now.
And again, have you found that, again, that there's this tremendous amount of positive things that have been involved. I can't believe we're running over time here with Amber Gill. Amber Gill, I want to thank you so much, national level figure skating coach, for joining us.
I hope to get you back.
Good luck to you and your
athletes in
these competitions. And hold on, we'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor.
Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk. for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com.
Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his 3 decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of Sports Doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Hey, you know, welcome back, everybody. Sports Doctors In segment, and where we preview some upcoming shows. We add some Bob Guide of Wisdom, get some emails. Quick shout out to Bruce Merrin, the PR guru, represented Elvis Presley in his day and his sports clients way back. Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali. Bruce Merrin, CelebritySpeakers.com. Great shows, as always, coming up in the near future. Next week, Kathy Son. This whole topic of body memory. What kind of memories, physically and mentally, get in the way of what our kids or ourselves might be doing? And then Deborah Slider, she's an RN. She's in the world of preventing lower extremity amputations. LEAP, lower extremity amputation prevention, tremendously important area in the scourge area of diabetes. Following week, we're going to talk neurology with Dr. Mike Zhang. He's also a migraine headache specialist. So we're going to talk with that very, very interesting side of neurology. You know, Bob Guida, I want to add that John Abdo, another late great champion. We've talked with John. He was a guest how many times on the show. John became famous with the invention of the abdoer. And John was years on and off with us, Bob Guida and I, with so many different pieces of equipment. I remember Bob discussing with him, you know, the momentum of the abdoer and how effective that would be in talking physiology and sports physiology. And I used to say to Guy years later, you know, that you know, we didn't become part of this when John went out to California. And it became the largest selling piece of sports equipment like ever on television, the abdoer. And there's so many different things that John added to the equation. And the core was a big deal to both of them. You know, and Guida was talking about the core in the late 70s. Medicine didn't know how to spell it. Does it have an R? Is it E? The importance of the midsection. Whatever your sport was, whatever your level was, today to prevent falls, core is a big deal. If you're the best athlete in the world, core is a big deal. Or their parents, whether they're skaters or runners, football, basketball players, changing direction. It's funny, our first guest talking martial arts, the whole movement, figure skating, our second guest, again, the core, the midsection. Half of the country has always been plagued with back problems, and it's no different today. So whether we're looking to try to stay out of trouble, whether we're dealing with a 14, 15-year-old pitcher, in order to try to not only enhance his performance, but stay out of trouble. Both these guys, Bob Guida, John Abdo, huge proponents of the core and its importance. I remember Guida working with the Olympic and the national volleyball players. He was the strength and conditioning coach when they were in the Midwest. And we were talking again about all these, the spiking, the shoulders, the spiking. And where he was talking about, again, the importance of the core, And so many of the players and coaches, you know, talking about what's that connection? They became big, big, big time believers and proponents of how important it was in that regard. So that's our little bit of wisdom for today. A few emails, Steffi, you know, with growing kids and the use of orthotics, how often do we pay attention? Do they grow out of them? Kids seem to grow out of shoes all the time. You know, Steffi, it's a good question. I found over the decades, the average is maybe a year and a half where we will see we want to pay big attention to whether or not the orthotics still fit, whether they're still productive, whether that child has grown out of them. In girls, once we hit 13 to 14 years old, I might have a 25-year-old in the same devices that we put her in when she was 14 years old. Boys, it might be 15, 16. So in early adolescence, we're paying big attention. You know, we might see kids as early as 6, 7 years old, even younger, where we might be using orthotics because they've inherited their parents and grandparents' flat feet or excessively rolled-in feet or their high arches or their bow legs or et cetera, where we might be paying attention very, very early. I have put serious figure skaters, again, Lysacek's a great example, 9, 10 years old, we've been putting orthotics in the skates. You just heard Amber Gill talking about she was 7 putting orthotics in her skates. The great national solo dance champion, Chloe Ryan, grew up in orthotics from 8 years old on. So many times we'll see about a year and a half. Sometimes I'll get close to 2 years in the world of figure skating because of the narrowness, necessity to fit in a boot. We might see we're looking at a year and a quarter. So we're paying attention to those kinds of ages. You know, Patty says, in 2008, you wrote an article, you paid big deal on the radio, let's get the kids walking. Yes, I did. Patty, I'm still paying a big deal in this world of childhood obesity and challenges of fitness, the whole mental health challenge. And the article is all about get these kids, even in early adolescence, walking as part of their school, walking as part of the curriculum. We're still trying to get it included besides gym class. You don't find many overweight kids if they're walking every day. Very important. See you next week. It's the Sports Doctor. Thank you.